I had to set it up a little bit this morning. We're going to be talking about God's banner is love. That's his banner for you and I, is love. And believe it or not, this morning I'm going to read a scripture from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. One verse is our text this morning. And that's the part that you might not believe, that I'm just going to read one verse for the text. It'll be a very short thing for you to stand for. But I do want you to stand out of reverence for God's word as we read this one verse of scripture from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 4. Scripture reads and says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning because you have a definite banner over your children. Father, you have a great and awesome presence that you have with your children at all times. Lord, we know more than anything else by the Word of God that you love us. And Father, this morning as we talk about the love of God, I pray, Lord, that this will be a day that we will once again fall in love with our Savior. Lord, we thank you for your blessings today. We thank you for the congregation, for this Word. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Just because the verse is so short, I'm going to read it again. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, in the book of Song of Solomon, it deals with King Solomon. And most of the writing of this book has to do with a young country girl, and it has to do with being in love and having a wedding and being intimate and all of the beautiful things that you would suspect in a time when love is just right there, present and open. God's the author of love. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8, that God is love. The Bible also gives us something out of Matthew 22, verse 2. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." And it talks about the kingdom of heaven being set up, a certain king who made the arrangements for a wedding ceremony to take place. And the wedding is the most symbolic meaning of love. And so Scripture goes on and teaches us that God has a definite banner of love over his children. Another place in Scripture that talks about things like a banner, a standard, and maybe a flag. See, what we need to understand is the language that's given to us in the Word of God. One place may say banner, one place may say standard, and then you and I could think more commonly of a flag of a nation or an army. And there was a place in Numbers chapter 1 when they were getting all around, when they were getting all of the tribes of Israel to camp out around the temple and everything. And they had to separate out. They had to separate out three on each side, the north, three on the south, three on the west, three on the east. And their camps were made up in a standard and in armies. They had to be separated by the people. They had to be separated by the banner or by the emblem and by their armies. And so God has some things for you and I to understand this morning, that when we talk about the standard, when we talk about a banner of God's love, when we talk about the flag that he waves over his family and over the world, it's been a banner of love. And so I want this morning to share a message with you that will ask and answer some questions about God's love. I want us this morning to think about, okay, if God loves me, if that's true, how do I know who God really loves? What does the Word of God say? Who does God love? You know, this is a time of year. We do something when we're close to a calendar date of a holiday, such as Valentine's Day. And we do little nice things and gestures to show love and affection to those that we would have in our lives. Young children go to school and they might give out cards. There might be some candy. There might be a party. There might be some celebrating of that way. Husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, and those types of things. They exchange these little gestures, and it all has to do with actually waving a banner, presenting a flag, or just having a standard, meaning in this relationship there has to be something there. There has to be some love. And so I want us to ask and talk about in the scripture this morning, if it's true that God loves me, how do I know really who God loves? One of the scriptures that you could write down if you wanted to jot down some notes this morning, we won't take time to look up each and every scripture, but I'll share some with you. The first thing that I want us to understand this morning, who does God love? What does the scripture say who God loves? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 will tell you that God is long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 will tell you that He's long-suffering towards us. You and I are there, the rest of the world is there, and He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. It speaks about His love. Who does God love? He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the people of the world. He loves each and every one. He loves us the same. God loves, and to prove His love, today He has long suffering towards you and I. What is He suffering long about? He wants to be with His family. He wants us to be with Him for all eternity, but He is not allowing Himself to come at this time and take us into glory because He's long suffering towards us. Us is that body of people that have not yet accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Us is that group of people that have not yet surrendered their hearts to Jesus, because He says when you do that, then you will come in and be one that He loves and one that He cares for and one that will not suffer and perish. I don't know how you could say whether or not somebody loves you unless they could really say, listen, I love you so much that I don't want to see you hurt. I love you so much that I do not want you to perish. I love you so much that I'm going to wait, and I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be willing to sacrifice more time so that another one can come in, and another one can come in. See, this is God's love. Who does He love? He loves us. Of course, John 3:16. You know, we ought not get tired of hearing the verse, but even beyond the verse, we ought to not get tired of hearing the message. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Who does He love? He loves the world. Does He love the things of the world? No. Does He love the philosophy of the world? No. Does He love the sins of the world? No. What is He saying in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Two verses this morning telling us already who God loves. He loves us, and He loves whosoever. He loves the world. He loves all in the world. He does not love the world of sin. He does not love the world of its iniquities, but He loves the people that are in this world. He loves the ones that He has created. He loves each and every one. There's a place in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 10. It talks about the root of Jesse. It talks about the place where the Gentiles will come. It talks about the place where all nations can be gathered under this one banner of Jesus. See, He loves the nations. We have some problems in our world today. There are nations rising up against nation. There are rumors of wars, and there are wars. There are all kinds of evil being done against each other's nations. But listen, church, it isn't just the nation. It's the people that make up the nation. And I need you to understand this morning that we should not write off any nation. There are people in each and every nation that God loves, that God is longing and long-suffering for, that they might know the truth. We might not understand what other nations are doing. doing. We might not agree with other nations' religions, but you have to understand that God has made a way that He loves us, He loves the people of the world, and He loves the nations and the people in each and every nation. I could ask a question this morning. I could ask a question about many things happening in our own nation. Many things that you and I probably would not agree with that's happening right now. And around the world, there's probably some that would say things like, that place of America doesn't need to exist anymore. They're out of control. They're doing things wrong. It's not right. And you know, we could say things and have been said before where we look at one nation and we say, well, just eliminate them all. No, we can't eliminate them all. There's people in each and every nation around this world, every tribe, every tongue that belongs to Jesus. And He will find people in Iran and Iraq that will serve Him. He will find people in Afghanistan that will love Him. He will find people in Russia that will do His work and His will. He will find people in Africa that will surrender their hearts to Him. He will find those in India that will desire to know the real and true God. He will find those around the world in every tribe, in every tongue, in every nation, even in America. God's still going to find some that love Him and receive the call to know that God loves the world this morning. Who does He love? He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the children. He loves the seniors. He loves the moms and the dads. He loves the grandparents. He loves the babies. He loves those each and every color. He loves those of each and every tongue. He loves those of each and every nation and tribe. He loves His people. No, God doesn't agree with everything that's happening on this earth. If He did, there wouldn't be no reason for there to be a new heaven and a new earth. But the Bible says that one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible lets us know that we are sojourners passing by through this place. The reason why Jesus came upon the earth is so that He could send a brand new banner message. He could bring out the banner and wave the flag and say, here I am sending you a message from heaven that says God is love. For God so loved the world that He gave, and He gave His only begotten Son. What did His Son do? He sets up the next question. You ought to settle it in your hearts this morning. Who does God love? He loves us. He loves the whosoevers. He loves the nations. He loves the people. But this is another question that happens to go on in the world today. Maybe you've asked, how does God love? The Bible says that He does love and He is love, but how does God love me? How do I really understand God loving me? What is this banner? What is this standard? What is this flag of God's love over me? If it's over me, why do I feel so hurt? Why do I feel so depressed? Why do I feel so broken? Why do I have these situations in my life? How does God love? I'm going to tell you how He loves, and then I'm going to go back and preach through these points this morning. God loves you in this way. Number one, He provides. Another way that God loves us this morning is He protects. Another way that God loves us is He prepares. God provides, God protects, and God prepares. Let's talk about this morning. How does God love me? Number one, He provides. Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus. And He said, I am anointed to do something. In Luke chapter 4, it was where Jesus began to talk about the anointing that's in His life. See, He was the only one who could claim that He was anointed of God, came from heaven to do something that nothing and nobody else could ever do. He came to preach the gospel to a group of people. Who did He preach it to? The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him and anointed Him to preach the gospel to the poor. if you have been down and out, if you have been forgotten, if you are going through some things and life seems to have dealt and been upon you as a poor individual, you have been the left out bunch. You have been the one that never seems to get ahead. You're the group that never seems to have all the things that you have need of. Well, Jesus came to preach to you, but he didn't just come to give word service to you. He came to give you the anointing that's in his life so that you can break away from being poor and gain the necessary things that you need in life. Now, am I saying that God's called us all to be rich and wealthy? I'll say yes and I'll say no. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about bank accounts, but I am talking about the rich anointing of God's love, the rich anointing of God's forgiveness, the rich anointing of God meeting my every need in my life, whatever that need might be. This is an anointed message of gospel of Jesus. The message of Jesus has got to be preached to this world once again, that he is the one who is anointed to preach to the poor. It's his word. It's his anointing that begins to open up new life in each and every heart. He preached the good message of the gospel to the poor. Who else? To the sick. Do you know what every sick person needs to hear about? The anointing that's in Jesus to break sickness out of their life. We heard a testimony this morning. Most all of my sister's life, she had been plagued with a sickness, and she has many other things going on in her physical body, but I'm standing with her and believing God still healing and doing great things in her life. But this morning, allergies, food allergies, I'm talking about a list that if we just had a grocery store list of all the foods, we could stand for 20 minutes and read things that she could not eat. But God came to preach to those who are sick. There's a message for the sick this morning, and it comes through the banner of God's love. He is the anointed one sent from heaven. He is the one born of a Virgin Mary. He is the one in whom we go to. He is the one in whom we pray to in the name of Jesus. No other name can preach to the poor. No other name can preach to the sick. Not in the way where anointing changes the circumstances and the affairs of life. God's word will change you. God's word will change you. God's word will change you. And God will change you for better. God will get you out of the poor states of life. Do you know your mind can be poor? Do you know your body can be poor? Do you know you can be poor in lots of ways? And Jesus came anointed to preach to the poor. He also came anointed to preach to the sick. But he also came to preach to a group that says they have a broken heart. This is the gospel that Jesus came. These were the groups of people that Jesus is preaching to this morning. He came out of love. He came from heaven, who is all love. He came from God the Father. And the Bible says God is love. And God sends us a great big banner. And he sends us Jesus to the world. And Jesus brings the message of salvation. And Jesus brings the anointing with him and shows us how that he loves the poor and he loves the sick and he loves the brokenhearted. It was Jesus who was found sitting and eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. Who does Jesus love? He loves the outcast. He loves the down and out. He loves the up and out. He loves the born again believer. He loves the ones that have not yet received him. God's love is for us this morning. How does he love? He provides the anointing and the word. I'm sorry, if you won't accept the anointing of Jesus and his word, then there's no hope and help for you while you're poor. I'm sorry, if you don't accept the anointing and the word of Jesus, then while you're brokenhearted, you're going to remain brokenhearted. I'm sorry, but if you don't accept Jesus, his anointing and his word, then that message is coming to you to change you and get you out of being sick. You're going to remain sick because doctors can go so far. Medicine can go so far. But when the body is sick, then it takes the hand of Almighty God. I believe God can use a doctor. I believe God can use medicine. But oh, how great it is when it's the hand of the Lord and Savior Jesus through his anointed preaching and through his anointed love upon you and I that tells us by his stripes we are healed this morning. See, he provides that way. How else does he provide? John 15, Verse 13 says, "For no greater love is there than this, for a man to lay down his life for his friends." How did Jesus provide? He provided the gospel, the anointed gospel that is still being preached around this world, the only saving power gospel, the only real message that can be preached is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It was Jesus who was sent to the earth. It was Jesus who had ministry on the earth. It was Jesus who went to the cross. It was Jesus who was beaten and bruised. It was Jesus who went into the tomb. It was Jesus who was raised out of the grave. The only gospel message that will preach and cause change in people's lives is the gospel of Jesus. He provides that gospel. The anointing is in Jesus. But he provided the sacrifice. This is something that tells us how much God loves us. The sacrifice was for you and for me. He provided his own sacrifice. And he went to a cross and he allowed the sins of the world to be on his back. Your sins and my sins. Sins do not give the message of love. Sin is a different banner. Sin is an evil thing. Sin is not God's banner. Sin is not God's flag. Sin is not God's standard of living. But God's standard is love. I'll send somebody to get rid of the sin. I'll send a sacrifice to take the beating when it should be you and me. I'll give them something that they can use to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Found in Revelations, that's you and me able to use the blood to draw on the sacrifice and understand how did he provide for us. He was the sacrifice. The sacrifice was pure. No greater love than this. You can't talk about any greater love. There's nothing else to measure love up against than when a Savior dying on a cross. People that he called friends, even though we were enemies of the cross, even though we were enemies of the message, even though we were enemies of receiving, yet while we were still sinners, he died. So your notes for this morning about how does God love? Number one, he provides. Let's talk about protecting. Number two, how does God love me? He protects. He protects. Isaiah 59. There's a scripture found in Isaiah 59 that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God does something. The Bible says that God will raise up a standard against him. I need the church to understand that when you're in your battles, when you're in the place of where the waves of life are crashing over your head, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and I can tell you by witness, he's on the flood attack today. He's not on the little raindrop attack. He's not on the little mist of the rains attack. He's not on just taking a little drop here and a little drop there. The enemy is bringing the all-out attack of bringing in the flood waters upon the house of God and you and I as God's children. But in it, time the Lord sees his children being overtaken by the flood waters, the Bible says it's not your standard, it's not my standard, but in Isaiah 59 it says he will raise up a standard, which is also a banner, which is also a flag, and he will raise up a standard against the attacks of the enemy. You and I need to understand this morning that we're not facing our battles alone. God has risen a standard. Can I tell you that when the standard of God is raised, he's sending a clear message to the enemy that says, those belong to me. That group of people that have accepted my name and accepted my word, I am their protector. I am not just the provider for them, but I am a protector for them. And I'm going to raise up a standard. Somebody needs to get it in their spirit this morning that God has you in his sights. And when he sees the enemy spirit of the waves coming over you like a flood water, he's got good news for you this morning to tell you that he loves you this morning, because he's right now raising up a standard against you. And any standard that God raises up against you, the enemy can't get through. Hallelujah. Don't worry and don't fret and don't be upset, because God's standard is still his standard this morning. God is not going to sit by and let his church die. God is not going to sit by and let his children be overran. God is not going to sit by and let his people, the people of God, go completely under. God has risen up a standard, and he proved it by the cross of Calvary and said, the blood of Jesus has been shed, and there is my standard and my banner that forever seals that I love the people, and I've given him my word and my blood. He is our protector. If you're under floodwater attacks, cry out to the standard to be raised up in your life by Jesus. He'll do it. Ephesians chapter 6. Scripture goes on and says, put on the whole armor of God. How does God protect us? Number one, he raises his standard. It's not my standard of what I think God ought to do. It's his standard. It's not a religious standard that says God needs to do this or that, but God has risen his own standard that said he is not willing that any should suffer. If he's not willing that any should suffer, he's going to fight and do everything he can, and God can do all things. And so you've got a strong standard that's on your side this morning. But he told us in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? It's God's armor. Stop trying to embrace life and put your own armor on. It didn't work for David when he went to put on Saul's armor to go fight Goliath. It did not work that way. It's not going to work for you to just try to put something in your head, some thoughts in your head to get through the day, something for you to put on your feet, some shoes or whatever it might be. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand in the days of the attack of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. What's he going to do? The devil is bringing attacks upon us. He will attack you and break your heart. He will attack you and bring sickness into your life. He will attack you and cause you to be poor in spirit, poor in mind, poor in body. But Jesus says, good news, I love my church. I love the people. My word is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It carries the anointing forever in it. Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but by my words, by no means shall ever pass away. In other words, the anointing power of the love of God is never going anywhere. It's always going to be. It always has been. It always will be. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the God that said to Moses, I am that I am. When they said, who am I supposed to tell who sent me? Just say, I am sent me, and he is what you need him to be this morning. And God is saying, put my armor on. What is the armor of God? You need the armor of his love on you. You need the armor of his ministry on you. You need the armor of trusting him on you. All these things are in Ephesians chapter 6, but it goes back and says, put on his armor. You won't stand up against the devil without it. Pastors can't stand up to the devil without the armor of God. Teachers can't stand up to the wiles of the devil without the armor of God. Church members can't stand up to the wiles of the devil just because they've been in church for years and years and years. Every one of us have been called by God to put on his whole armor. He provided the armor. He provided the power to protect while you wear that armor. He said he's raising a standard for you. He's raising a standard for me. He loves us that much. And he says, I'm giving you my own armor. I don't know about you, but when God passes out the armor, I want to put it on. It isn't the same thing as when Saul tried to give David his armor. God knows how to fit the armor on every one of us. He knows how to protect his own. Trust him. The third way that you and I know this morning that God loves us, how does God love us? Not only does he provide for us, but he protects us. But here's one that I'm sure you will enjoy. He prepares. He prepares us. He prepares us for now, and he prepares us for heaven. But God has not left us empty-handed. In John 14, he tells us in the words of his own, he says, I'm sending you yet another comforter. John 14 is the passage of Scripture where you will find that Jesus says that the Comforter, when he comes, will lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. He is preparing us. God is preparing us to meet him. I don't know about you, but if you were going out on a very special Valentine's date and you were going to meet the one you love, I believe many of us, if not all of us, would take extra special time. It's not the same date night. It's not the same time to go out. But this is a time when we're going to do something very unusual and take extra special care to get ourselves ready to meet. But the Holy Spirit has been given to you and I to prepare us. You and I cannot prepare our own self for meeting God. You can go in Scripture and find out that if you and I should come in contact with God, it would literally destroy us because we cannot stand in the presence of God alone. But in the blood of Jesus and in the preparation of the Holy Spirit preparing you and I to meet him, we have good news that you and I can be ready to meet Jesus face to face. He sent his Holy Spirit to prepare us. But I thought the church prepared me. No, it's his Holy Spirit that prepares you. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides you into all truth. Church is good if the Word of God is being preached. Bible studies are great if they're really digging for the truth of the Word of God and not just an agenda. Prayer groups are awesome if they'll pray in the name of Jesus. Ministries that have evangelistic ministries going around the world are awesome as long as they promote God, His Word, His way, His will. We have one of the most blessed things for us today, more so than years ago, when we have radio and TV and internet and all the different things, and now even cell phones, that you can instantly connect and hear the gospel message. But be careful what you're listening to and make sure that it's the same banner of God that says, I love you. Be careful and understand that it has to be the same message where God says, I am long-suffering towards you. Who do I love? I love us. Who do I love? I love the whosoevers. Who do I love? I love all the nations of the world. There's people in every tribe, tongue. There's people in every place of the earth that God's going to save and God's going to love. How does he love me? He provides for me. How does he love me? He protects me. How does he love me? He is preparing me by the power of the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. The greatest thing that you and I have right now is the Holy Spirit. You ought to desire him in your life. You ought to long for him to be there and understand that the Bible says we ought not to grieve the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's our teacher. He's our counselor. He is leading us into the place of right relationship with Jesus that we may be prepared to go on and be with him in heaven. Jesus also said in John 14, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again that you may be where I am also. Not only is the Holy Spirit sent to you and I to prepare us now, But God has already went into heaven through Jesus. And Jesus, once he's been back into the place of heaven, he went to prepare a place where you and I would be with him for all eternity, a place where you and I could see that our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a place that is for you that was made by him. He's preparing the place. But you and I have to be willing to let his Holy Spirit prepare us for that place. God is full of love. There's no greater message in all the Word of God than that he is love. He loved them in the garden after they sinned. He still made a covering for them. He loved them all the way through the children of Israel. On their journey in the wilderness, he still provided. He still protected. He still prepared them. He's doing it today. He's preparing his church to be his bride. He's preparing us to meet him in glory. He's preparing for us to receive and be received of him. He's preparing us. He's preparing us. He's preparing us. How many of you believe that you are still being prepared by God? That the Holy Spirit is still working on you. The Holy Spirit is still working on me. I want you to understand this morning that God loves you this way. He loves you enough to tell you that you belong with him in Scripture. He didn't put anybody on the outside of his word. He said us. He said whosoever. All of us together belong to God. He said that he loves us because he provides and he meets our needs. Let me tell you that there is a deliverance and a healing in coming to Jesus. There is a covenant and a promise, and there is comfort and there is heaven. All of these things are in the blood of Jesus and through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. He loves you. I want to close this morning. Revelation 2, the first church that the Spirit of the Lord begins to talk to, says, I hold this one thing, this one woe against you. You've left your first love. We know because of the Word of God that he loves us. But God has called us to first be in love with him before we're in love with anything else. Have we lost the first love? God forbid. John, 1 John 4 says we love him because he first loved us. That's a great verse of Scripture for everybody to understand, because see, you can't love God first. You can't come to God first. You can't get cleaned up good enough to come to God. You can't call, I love you first, because he loved us first by sending his son. It's not about being cleaned up and perfect coming to the house of God. It's about coming to the house of God because God loves you. And then because he loves us, now we can love him. And you grow in learning to love God and what that means. I want you to bow your heads all over the sanctuary this morning. I want us to pray this morning about God's love. The only real effect on anybody's heart is when the love of God has reached them. Nothing else works. While everybody has their heads bowed, their eyes closed, out of reverence for your neighbors around you, I just want to talk to you. Are you ready? To let the love of God be first and foremost. Will you let his love provide for you? Will you let his love protect you? Will you let his love prepare you? Life is tough. Hardships are around us. But church, the plain gospel is this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Until you come to Jesus and let Him begin to do with your life what you can't do. Until you receive new life, spiritual new life, your spirit becomes reborn when you accept Jesus. Just right where you are, I want to ask a question this morning. If you're here today and you've heard the message that God's banner is love, and you want God's love, you need to ask Him into your heart. You've never done that. You're not sure if you've done that. You really don't know. All I'm going to ask you to do is slip up your hand. What are you doing when you slip up your hand? You're saying to Jesus, "You're my Savior. I need somebody to deliver me from the mess of my life. I need somebody to forgive me for all the sins I've ever done. I need somebody to love me and teach me how to be prepared for heaven." That's what you're saying by lifting up your hand. You won't have to pray by yourself. I'll pray with you this morning. This church will pray with you. And we will pray a sinner's prayer that God will hear. Your heart will forever be changed, and your name will be written down in a very special book called the Lamb's Book of Life. When this life here is over, your name being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life says that you belong to heaven, and all eternity you will dwell with the Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, and with Jesus, the one who died for you, the one who died for me. The Bible says every one of us, our righteousness is as filthy rags, dirty, disgusting. But because of the blood, the standard of God's love, that He loves us so much, He made us clean through His own blood. He became a sacrifice. He took the punishment of all sin. What will happen when you give your heart to the Lord? The one thing that you'll know right away, the weight of sin will come out of your heart. Will everything be perfect in your life? No. Will you ever have another problem? Yes. But you'll never face it alone. The peace of God will always be with you. He'll be your provider. He'll be your protector. And He'll be the one to prepare you. Is there someone this morning that would simply raise up their hand and say, "I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I want to pray this morning. I want to accept Him." Would you just lift up your hand right now? Is there one? Is there anybody that would say, "I need Jesus. I need Him in my life"? This is the time when you need to be open to the Lord. He's calling out your name, saying, "Come to my banquet table. Let my banner of love be over you." Is there somebody that would say, "I need Jesus this morning"? Is there anyone that would raise their hand? Stand together as a church. The Lord sees the hands. I want everyone together with me this morning to just repeat the prayer. We're talking about salvation, people's lives, eternal existence. If you pray this prayer and you weren't able to raise your hand, but you prayed the prayer and you want to testify as a witness, you let me know, because you need to stand up and let the enemy know that you gave your heart to Jesus. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Without you, I'm lost in my sins. I'm undone, confused. I won't make heaven. But with you in my heart, I know you will provide, you will protect, and you will prepare me for all things. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. And help me live a brand new life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want the church to give Him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. That's the greatest prayer that can be heard in all of heaven, is when someone gives their heart to the Lord. I want to encourage you to come back tonight, 6 o'clock, to be in God's Word again. We have a little special treat for each and every one of you that would desire something for Valentine's Day, just a little gesture from us. We love you. God loves you. You are dismissed this morning. God bless you.